So this weekend, Father Conway and I really sort of took the opportunity to talk about what we were going to preach on and wanted as much as possible things to line up. And of course, the readings really provided that opportunity in the ordinary form. The gospel is, of course, our Lord saying, this is the commandment that I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And we hear from James today in our epistle, the wrath of a man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. And really, this was stirring in our hearts because of everything that's kind of been going on in our world and in our country, and the kind of intersection that that has with us as disciples of Jesus. And I was trying to figure out, well, what's the lead-in? What's the hook? You know, I like to start with some sort of a story or object lesson, and I just really couldn't come up with anything. And then yesterday I was out doing errands and I drove by someone who had on their bumper sticker, hate is not a family value. So just as a general rule of thumb, whether you believe in the gospel or not, if your philosophy fits on a bumper sticker, get a better philosophy. But right, that captures really well the kind of oddity we find ourselves in the modern world, in America, as disciples of Jesus. We are caught in this odd tension between a supposed side of hate and another side of love. Of course, love really very much just being a mask for self-actualization and self-will, and hatred being anything that challenges that idea that we are the masters of our own destiny. And it's easy to talk about culture wars. We've done it for a long time. But really, I think, brothers and sisters, the Lord invites us not to continue fighting culture wars, but to change them. And so what St. James is speaking of in today's epistle is very practical and challenging, as James always is, but is also revelatory of a deep truth. So, very practically, my dear brothers, everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of a man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. There is a phenomenal examination of conscience for us as we engage with the world. Do we meet these conditions? But even more, there is a depth here because James is setting a contrast, the wrath of man and the righteousness of God. I've spoken before, right? Anger is a response to injustice. It's meant to motivate us to accomplish correcting an injustice. So we might say it's meant to direct us, to give us energy in establishing righteousness. But James understands the heart, and that the fallen heart of us human beings is very different from the heart of God. God, who is the author of all good giving and every perfect gift, the Father of lights. So the righteousness of God is founded on this reality. And so we ask the question, is the righteousness that we look to establish founded on the heart of God, as James shows it to us today? Or is it grounded in what he calls the wrath of man? It's important for us as disciples of Jesus that we allow ourselves to be sifted in that way, because we are no doubt called to true charity. And true charity is a great many things, involves a total renewal of our whole selves. I've seen the great St. Pius X quoted often in the modern world in Catholic circles that the greatest charity is to correct those who are in error. Well, of course, absolutely. But if we do so motivated by or manifesting the wrath of man, we fall into what the great Archbishop Fulton Sheen cautioned us against, which is winning an argument and losing a soul. We must always keep in mind that the heart of God is directed towards all good giving and every perfect gift, for all people, including his enemies, which Scripture reminds us included us. And so our own efforts to engage the world are to find themselves anchored in imitation of Jesus himself, who reveals the heart of the Father. So as we think of this call to love, Jesus makes clear as he speaks in the gospel that our ability to love is in many ways measured by our ability to love our enemies. He says, if we love those who love us, those who do good for us, we're no better than the pagans. And in fact, I think if we were to take stock and ask the question, is the world able to tell Christians apart from the rest of the world by the way that they love, it would probably not be so. That's partially because we have collapsed love into just being niceness, and they are not the same thing. But also because when it comes to dealing with our enemies, the world that will try and sell us on niceness also tries to sell us on the idea that if we get pushed, we push back just as hard. We don't want to be doormats. You don't want people to walk all over you. And so even there, the gospel message needs to be proclaimed anew to our hearts so that we might live authentic charity, charity that truly does stand out over and against the world. So let's take a step back from the culture and the enemies that are there and look more intimately at how we deal with our own enemies. James spends a great deal of his letter, not just what we hear today, but in other places, speaking about how we use our tongue. He understands the reality of how difficult it is to master our speech. Does our speech show love for our enemies? And most of us, because it's socially inappropriate, don't blow up at other people and chew them out. We wait till we're behind closed doors to do that. We wait till we have a chance to gossip. It's that old saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, come sit next to me and we can talk. Do we play into that with our enemies? If we do, we need to hear the call to repentance, that is not authentic charity, charity that Christ himself showed us and calls us to. How do we love our enemies? But love, of course, is also a positive action. Right, it's to will the good of the other for the sake of the other. Think back on the last 24 hours. When did we let go of our own will for the sake of someone else? Change our plans, give up a preference, something. What were those moments? As we reflect on that, it's actually really easy to see in our world that we can set up walls that ensure that our lives flow exactly the way we want them to, that we can remain insulated from others and structure our lives so that it is in fact for our comfort and ease. And so if we realize that in the last 24 hours we have not emptied ourselves, let go of our self-will, allowed someone else's way to be more important than ours, we need to hear the call to repentance. And then as we think about the increasingly hostile world that we go out into, that we send our children into, how do we love our enemies there? And this is hard, and it always has been. The world is never at peace with the message of the gospel. Jesus says in today's gospel, right, that the ruler of this world has been condemned. But until our good Lord returns again, the evil one has the ability to make trouble for the disciples of Jesus. But what he desires is their, our corruption, that we would not be like our Lord. And so it's good to reflect on our most ancient of ancestors, those first disciples whose blood was the seed of the church. And it was the seed of the church because it was united to the blood shed by Jesus. So are we prepared that in the face of culture wars, our love would look like his, would look like patient suffering, the blessing of our enemies. What convinced a very violent world of Rome that there was power in this community of believers was that in the face of calumniation, read some of the letters of St. John Chrysostom, early Christians were charged with being cannibals in the popular culture, or in the face of violence being brought before gladiators, before animals turned into torches. It wasn't that the Christians organized themselves into some sort of small, well-regulated Christian army that fought against the man, but that they did not tremble before swords or wild animals or fire. They didn't utter curses, calling upon God to strike the gladiators, the Roman officials. Children peacefully faced animals. Women with infants in arms guided the trembling hands of their executioners. Christians sang hymns and blessed those who mocked them and led them to death. And through that, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, changed the world. Brothers and sisters, as we are called and called ever increasingly to witness to this truth, we must look to our ancestors, to Jesus himself, is the model for true love of our enemies. But more than the model, Jesus is the source. If in these places of reflection we realize that we do have places to repent, then as we kneel before him to receive him in the Eucharist today, we bring him the poverty of our love. Poverty of our love before him who is love itself. On my own, Jesus, I cannot love like you. Love through me. Teach me all things through your Advocate, but especially teach me to love as you did and as you do. Brothers and sisters, it has always been the love of Jesus Christ that convicts and changes the world. So may we allow that love to be displayed and acted through us.